tonight, our special end of year gospel meeting. We appreciate your presence with us. We pray from the very outset we'll know the presence of the Lord amongst us. Mrs. Anne Ross Cousins' famous hymn we're going to commence with, it's 595, based on the dying words of the great Scotch Presbyterian minister Samuel Rutherford, reminds us that time is passing us by so quickly. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but day spring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. So 595 will stand as we sing, please.
Sweet.
we're going to unite our hearts together in prayer. Pray for the Lord's hand, his guidance, his help and his blessing on the service tonight. Our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum, is going to come to the pulpit just now. One of the highlights of this past year was the election of new elders, the re-election of the church committee. And our brother, one of the new elders that was elected and ordained during the past year. So we've asked Billy if he'll commit the meeting to the Lord just in prayer tonight, please. Thank you.
Let us just still our hearts now and commit our meeting unto the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you tonight that we can come into thy holy presence. And we come, O Lord, tonight not on any merits of our own, but Father, we come tonight in and through the merits of thy only dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in him alone that we can come and approach thee, Father. That is only through him and through the sacrifice that was shed at Calvary, Lord. We think of the precious blood, Lord, the atoning blood that was shed for us. And Lord, we know, Lord, that thy word tells us without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. So, Father, tonight as we come, Lord, we come through the blood and the blood alone. For we have no other entrance into thy presence. And we thank you, Lord, tonight for us, for each one of us here tonight who know and love the Lord as their Savior, Lord, that we have been to Jesus, that we can say, Lord, that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, that our sins, O Lord, that are scarlet were now white as snow. But, Father, we're very mindful tonight, Lord, of those. Yeah, Lord, in our own congregation, even here tonight as we meet, who are still out of Christ, still strangers to grace and to God. Those in our family circles, Lord, as well, Father. And even, Father, tonight there are those who are perhaps listening in online, Lord, and each one, Lord, still out of Christ, still far away from thee. O God, so many tonight who are set under the sound of the gospel, Lord, perhaps week after week and year after year, Lord, and O God, they're still far from thee, Father. And O God, we pray tonight for them, Lord, that even in the last hours, even of 20 and 23, Father, we cry unto thee, Lord, that even tonight, Lord, that they would come and put their faith and their trust in Christ. O Father, we pray, Lord, in these days of uncertainty, Lord, and Father, when so many will put it off, Lord, to another day, oh, that men and women would realize, Lord, that now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And even, Lord, in the last hours that have said of 23, Lord, they need to be saved. Putting off to 2024, Lord, because for some, Lord, tonight, they may not be a 2024. So, Lord, tonight, we pray, Lord, that souls would come to thee, Father, and put their faith and trust in thee. Bless this people tonight. Bless this congregation, Lord. We pray for those who are ill tonight, those who are laid aside, Lord, of our people, Lord. We pray, O God, you'd be with them, Lord. Those who are confined to their own homes, Lord, through illness or infirmities, Lord, or old age, Lord, we pray for them tonight, Lord. We pray for those in the hospitals tonight as well, Father. And Lord, we pray that you'd meet the need of this congregation, Lord, as you have through 2023, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to meet our need, Father. We pray you'll bless this congregation. We pray, Lord, you'll take us from strength to strength. We thank you for the work and the witness over the past year. And, oh God, how we thank you for blessing it. How we thank you, Lord, for blessing the work of our Sabbath school. How we thank you, Lord, for the young souls that's been saved. How we thank you, Lord, for the work in the children's meetings and the work in the youth fellowship, Father. And, Lord, for all the outreach that we've been able to do in 2023, we pray, Lord, that you'd bless it. And may it all be owned of thee, Father. And may all things that's done be done to glorify thy name and thy name alone. That Christ will be lifted up in this city. That Christ will be exalted. And that none but he would be seen. Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would bless our minister, Lord, be with Rev. McMillan, Lord. Bless him in his labors here, Lord, and continue to bless him, Father, in the years that lie ahead. We pray, O God, tonight that you would bless our brother David McCauley, who has come, Lord, tonight to testify to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless him, that he would know the Spirit of God upon him, Father, tonight. And we pray, O God, that you'd bless him in his future labors for thee, Lord, as he prepares for the mission field, Lord. We pray you'd bless our brother. And we pray, O God, that you'd be with him and his family, Lord, as they'd make those plans, Lord, as they do the deportation, Lord, work throughout the province, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless them. And we pray, O God, that you'd make the roads straight for them, Lord, we pray. And you'd bless all and their labors, Lord, as they would seek to go out and serve thee, Lord, in Uganda. We do pray, O Lord, tonight that you would bless all our missionaries, Father, tonight. We do pray, O God, for our home missionaries, Lord, that belonging to this congregation, Lord. We pray for the work tonight in Australia. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the Gardner family there, Lord, at this time of the year when they're separated from their loved ones here at home. We pray, Lord, you'll be with them. Be with our brother Ralph, Lord, in Tasmania, Lord, and his family as well, Lord. We do pray for our sister out in the mission field as well at this time. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep your hand upon her as well, Father. And Lord, for all our missionaries, Lord, whether it be Uganda, Kenya, Lord, or Liberia, or throughout the world, Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, you'd be with each one. And Lord, bless them in their labors for thee. We do pray, Lord, now that you'd bless those who will come, O Lord, and minister to us tonight in song, Lord. We pray you'll be with them as well, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless them as they would bring the messages to us, Lord, tonight. And Lord, tonight we would just pray that all done in this meeting would be done to glorify thee, and that none but Christ would be seen tonight, we pray. For in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. We do want to thank all of our office bearers for their labours during the past year, for all that they've done to help maintain and forward the work of the gospel in this place. We want them to know that we appreciate that very much. And we encourage you to continue to give them your support and especially pray for the Lord's wisdom and guidance and the Lord's blessing to rest upon the labours of all of these men. We're going to turn to the scriptures, please. We're reading in the Old Testament in the Word of God, the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, some verses at the beginning of that portion of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 27. Beginning at the first verse. Let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We're closing just there this evening, the close of that 12th verse, and we pray the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. thankful to those from the congregation that are taking part in the service tonight. We always enjoy the participation of folk from the church here. We want to encourage folk to use their gifts and talents in the service of the Lord. We're thankful for all that took part last Sabbath evening at the carol service, and the great blessing that meeting was to our hearts as well. Our brother George Hewitt, is going to come forward for us just now and bring a couple of messages in song to us at this time in the service. We're looking forward to that, George, so come ahead, please.
It flows from deep within. There is a fountain and frees the soul from sin. So come to this water, for there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Neither was the thirsty woman, she was drawing from a well. Oh, her life was ruined and wasted, and her soul was bound for hell. Oh, but then she met the Savior, and he told her about her sins. And he said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain, and it frees the soul from sin. Oh, come to this water, for there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
We appreciate both of those messages very much indeed. Just a reminder of the greatness of our God, the greatness of his power. Even in that first piece, to remind us of the greatness of his salvation, that he's able to save the vilest of sinners. We pray that that'll be so in this church in this incoming year. We pray the Lord might do that for us over and over. We're thankful for the Lord's good hand in George, the recovery that the Lord has granted to him following that extreme bout of COVID that he had, that has enabled him even to take up the ministry and to sing to us in services such as this again. Do you remember Stephanie's mum, Avril? She's in the hospital. She's quite seriously ill, and I know the family would appreciate your prayers. Remember Ben, Stephanie's dad as well, the whole family circle, that they'll know the Lord's guidance. But remember Mrs. Telford especially, please, just that she would be conscious of the Lord's nearness and grace at this time. We're delighted to have our brother, Mr. David McCauley, from the Hebron Church in Ballymoney with us tonight. We do appreciate David coming down to participate in the service this evening. As you know, he and his wife Rachel and the children have been accepted by the presbytery as missionaries for Uganda. That's a great answer to prayer. As we think of the need there, we're thankful to the Lord for how he's been calling young people into the missionary work, and missionary teams are being built in the fields that the Lord has opened to us as a board. Dave is going to give a wee word of testimony in the service tonight. He's going to tell us the story of how he was converted, maybe bring us up to that point where he first was challenged just about missionary work. He's to be with us in the early part of January, where you will hear the next part of the story of how the Lord led him as far as missionary work, and particularly led them to the land of Uganda. We'll emphasize that a little later in the meeting. We'd like you to come that night especially. But we're delighted to have Dave, and we're going to ask him to come and to testify for us just now, please. If you'll get that one on to you.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is good to be with you tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to give my testimony anytime I can. Now, I know, even though I was here not so long ago as well, maybe in the past year, giving my testimony, but no doubt you'll have forgotten most of what I said, so that's good. Then I will be here in about 2 weeks' time. So I've been trying not to repeat myself, but I only have the one testimony, so it's not that easy. So bear with us as we work our way through my testimony. It is, of course, a great thing to be able to give your testimony, and that's why I say it's a privilege to be here tonight just to do that. I am from Ballymoney, and I was brought up there, and I'm still living there with my wife and my family there. I have a little daughter, Eloise. She's 4. I've got a son, Arthur, who is 3, and then Jude, he's just about 9 months. So there's three children, and then myself and my wife. And I was brought up as the youngest of 5 siblings, so I have an older brother, and then 3 sisters, and then I'm the youngest. And of course, as you can imagine, being brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church, and with good godly parents who were saved, as it goes with most testimonies of people who were brought up in the Free Church, I of course was sent along to all of the meetings that I could. When I came the age to be sent out, I was sent out to them. But not only that, we used to play Sunday school and church at home as well on Sunday afternoons. I don't know if there's young families here, if they do that, or if you did that growing up as well. But that was our Sunday afternoons. We would have played Sunday school. And it was actually through one of those Sunday schools that I got saved. My sister was being the teacher this day, my sister Rhonda, and she actually just led me to Christ through that little Sunday school, just gave me the gospel clear and simple, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that I was a sinner and needed to be saved, and that she led me to Christ just in that very simple way. And I was about the age of 9, I believe. There is a bit of a debate as to how old I was, but I was around the age of 9 at that time. So I just like to say that in my testimony, because I think children's work is one of the most important works in the church. And of course, we have young families here, and how you bring up your children is most important. And even something as simple as playing Sunday school on the Lord's Day afternoon can be the means of bringing someone to Christ. So be encouraged if you're a children's worker. The gospel's powerful. The gospel is also simple. And it's so simple, even a child can understand it. And maybe most of you here were maybe believers at a young age yourselves. So I was saved at that young age, finishing my primary school days and up through into my secondary school days. There wasn't too much exciting going on there. There's nothing really outstanding or significant that I can give to you. And so with that being said, I thank God for his preservation over me over those years. But of course, I wasn't perfect. Far from it. There were things that I'd be ashamed of to say here from this pulpit today. But still, the Lord was good to me. He was faithful. I didn't go into drugs or drink or didn't go out partying, anything like that. The Lord did save me from a lot of those things. But however, as I said, I wasn't perfect. And when I stand up to give my testimony, I do look back on my high school days with a lot of regret. And mostly that is because I never really took my stand for Christ in my high school days. I never, at least to my memory, I don't know if I did, I never remember once speaking to anyone about Christ in terms of presenting Christ to them, my Savior. I never did that. See, I wasn't one for pushing myself outside of my comfort zone whenever I was young. I was shy, I was awkward. And you'll hear a bit more about that in the presentation or the video in my deputation meeting. But I was that kind of awkward person that I just didn't want to speak out. That was too far outside of my comfort zone. It just wasn't me. So any opportunity, I would just let slip on past. And of course, today being where I'm at in being a prospect and missionary, I stand here with a lot of shame. And that being the case, I don't know if I was here last, when I was here last, if I shared this with you, but there's something that stands out in my mind during my high school days, and it's this incident here. I was walking between classes with my classmates at school, and I remember I was walking beside this one girl, and she said to me, "Are you going out at the weekend to such and such a place?" It was to a nightclub or something like that, and I said to her, "No, I'm a Christian." And with that, she said, "Well, I believe in God, but I'm going too." And with that, my response to that was just simply nothing. I had nothing to say to her. And I remember at that time, my conscience was just pricked, and it's still pricked today at that memory. And, you know, I listen to some young people as they give reports and testimonies, even young people who are still at school and university. And they speak of how they are able to take a stand for the Lord and speak about their Savior, stand up in front of their classmates and speak the truth of the gospel to them. And my hat goes off to them. You know, the day that we live in, it's not the easiest day for young people. But yet there's young people, even in our own denomination, are able to take a stand. And that amazes me, because for this reason, I couldn't. I didn't. And that's a shame for me whenever I give my testimony. And of course, my encouragement to you, any of you here, it doesn't have to be school that you relate this to. It could be, even if you're older, your workplace or within your family. Take the opportunity simply to speak of your Savior. Let the love of Christ just constrain you. The love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. It's a shame when you can't share that love with others. And so that's what I really think of in my high school days now when I look back on it. It was really my early teenage years, early 20s, when the Lord really started to work on me, to encourage me to do something a little bit more for Him. And again, I thank Him for His grace and His patience with me. Even as a teenager, He was taking that teenager and He began to mold that teenager into what He wanted that man to be. And that happened in my late teens. I remember starting to work alongside a man called Armin Tomasian and Macaulay's Engineering, and most of you will probably know who Armin is. And Armin was the total opposite of me, you might say. He didn't miss an opportunity at all. And often Armin would say to me, you know, David, what are you going to do for the Lord? And many an occasion he asked me that question. And there was one day in particular, he came and asked me that same question. David, what are you going to do for the Lord? And I don't know if I woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning, but I had had enough. I said to Armin, look, stop asking me what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stand up and preach. I don't want to be a missionary. I'll maybe give and support and pray for people that do that, but I don't want to do that. And now, of course, clearly I'm standing up here today. I've stood and I've preached on quite a few occasions, and I'm going to be a missionary in Uganda. So something has obviously changed from that comment until now. And thank God it was God who brought about that change. The Lord started to work in my heart in those early 20s. And I began just doing something for Him. Just little things. Maybe going out in outreach with Armin. Just standing there, not talking, just listening to Him do it. Going out then to the open air and maybe handing out tracts. Just the little things that God was opening the doors for me to do, and I was seeking to be faithful in those things. And of course, the encouragement is for you here today. What little thing can you find to do for the Lord? That's where it really starts. He seeks out those who are going to be faithful just to do the little things, and you don't know where that may lead you. For me, it led me to serve and train with New Tribes Mission over the space of 3 years. And then coming home from New Tribes Mission, we spent 3 months in Kenya under our own mission board. And then we spent the last four years in the training of the Whitfield College of the Bible in the theological course. And here we are now heading out to Uganda. So I don't know in that short little testimony there if you can imagine how I feel standing here today with such a testimony. And all I can say is all glory be to God alone, because I do not deserve to be in the privileged position that I feel I'm in here today. I think back of my high school years with shame, and yet the Lord in His patience and His faithfulness has brought me to this point, not only me, but my family as well, to serve Him in Uganda. And what a privilege that is. If you were to ask me what really made the difference, what really challenged me, what made the difference in me at 19 or 20 years old, and what keeps me going here today, it's the verse you find there in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. And I will say more about this on deputation, but if you want to turn there, 1 Timothy 1 and the verse 12. This, I would say, is really the verse of my calling. That's why it means so much to me. It says there, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And so God led me to that verse that I've just read on different occasions. The first time I read it, all I saw was that word ministry, and I thought to myself, of course, who I was. I said, well, that's not me. It must be a coincidence. But He led me to it again. And just before I sit down, I want to tell you really what that verse means to me. It took me a while to really get it. And so I want to explain to you what it means to me in the hope that it will even encourage some of you here tonight to do something for the Lord as well. Because I have no doubt, as I speak here tonight, whether you're in the meeting here or whether you're online, there are people listening on and they struggle with the exact same thing that I did through my teenage years. Maybe you feel like the Lord is asking you to do something for Him. And maybe you know what that thing is. The door is open for you, but you're thinking to yourself, I can't do that. Well, I want this verse really to encourage you tonight and be that encouragement to you just to take that step of faith towards doing that very thing. So what made the difference? Well, it was what the truth is in this verse is stated here. Because finally, when you understand what this verse is saying, when God calls you, you soon realize that it is nothing to do with you. And that's the biggest encouragement for me. God's calling in my life, where I'm at here at the minute, is nothing to do with me, but it's all about Him. You look at the verse that we've just read. Paul here, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And at the end of the verse, he says, for putting me into the ministry. So you think of God's work as a whole, whether it's here in Armagh or whether it's anywhere else in the world, it's God's work. And it's God's work to put people into that work. And that's a great encouragement. It's not that we go to the Lord and say, Lord, pick me. Look at what I can do. Look at my credentials. No, the Lord simply will just take the person, take the man or the woman, and He will put them to work. And it's the work of His choosing. But then secondly, you look at the verse again. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who counted me faithful in that, who hath enabled me, first of all, here. So not only has the Lord put Paul into the work, but He also enables Paul to be there. And that again, what a great encouragement that is, because the Lord just doesn't put people to work and then stands back to see if the people can sink or swim. No, He enables them. It's not that we go forward in our strength at all. If He puts you to work, He's going to enable you. It's going to be His power that keeps you in the ministry. And then finally, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who hath enabled me in that He counted me faithful. Paul was simply counted faithful, and he thanks the Lord for that as well. See, Paul trusted in the wisdom of God here. It's not that Paul chose to be in the ministry that he was in. Likewise for me and for anyone else. God puts you, He enables you. What does He ask of you in return? Simply for faithfulness, just to trust Him. And so that's simply what I want to leave with you tonight with this testimony. I'm certain there's great potential. You think of even our own little denomination, and it is little in comparison to some other denominations out there, but even the great potential that I can see out even in this congregation here tonight, if people would only but realize that they are saved to serve, and not only that, but God will put you into the service of His choosing and enable you to be in there, and all He asks of you is simply to trust Him in that, that you would take that step of faith to trust Him and move forward. And who knows where you might end up in 2024 in the Lord's work. So I trust that this has been some kind of encouragement to you tonight, and I trust that 2024 will be a profitable and blessed year for you here in Armagh as well. Thank you.
Just think of the question that the Reverend Tomasian, although he wasn't the Reverend Tomasian back in those days, but think of the question that he asked our brother David, what are you going to do for the Lord? So as you look out in the will of the Lord on the new year, 2024, just take a moment to ask yourself that question. What are you going to do for the Lord? What are you going to do for Christ in His service, and whatever other years the Lord in His grace is pleased to give to you. Can I emphasize to you something very important that came out, even what our brother said tonight. You can never say never to the Lord. Many people have over the years. They've been asked about a certain work or a certain role or encouraged to go to a certain place, and they've responded quite strongly, I'll never do that or I'll never go there. And often that's the very place, and often that's the very thing the Lord wanted them to do. So we need to be very careful in the responses that we give Sometimes the Lord is working on our hearts. He's guiding us and opening up the way for us. And at the beginning, we can't see it. We can't see the work he has for us to do. So we need to pray that prayer that Paul prayed, the first prayer he ever prayed as a believer. What wilt thou have me to do? Take that in your heart tonight and ask the Lord to give you very clear guidance. We have appreciated the testimony. It's important for us to get to know our missionaries, those that are leaving our land and leaving their home and family to go and serve the Lord. Sometimes it takes two or three or four times to hear the story and hear the details before they really stick with us, that we can have received them in such a way that we don't forget them. So we pray that that might be the case. We want you to get to know our brother David and his wife Rachel and Arthur and Eloise and little Jude. Think of the very significant step that they're taking as a family to leave this land and to go as a family to Uganda and serve the Lord in the mission field in that land, so very, very far away. And we want to take them very much upon our hearts and give them all the support that we can as a church here and as a denomination as a whole. So we encourage you to do that. Remember the deputation. It's Wednesday the 17th of January, in the will of the Lord. Pray there'll be no hindrance to the meeting taking place that night as we come into the January, sometimes the colder months of the year. But we ask you to note that date, to mark that date and plan to come. We're always encouraged to see the children and the young people that come to the midweek meeting, especially when there's deputations taking place, and we encourage you to come on that Wednesday night as well. Some very significant matters with regard to the Macaulays and their support, we ask you to consider tonight, to consider prayerfully. Pray the Lord will impress them on your heart. Remember the importance of the financial support that they require to go to the field. That's the significance of a deputation meeting. As a local church, we have an opportunity to give, to help them to go and fulfill their calling and serve the Lord in Uganda. Remember the importance of the covenant support. On every prayer card, there's that little section just at the side. It's difficult for missionaries to appeal for that covenant support themselves, so we want to do it on their behalf. I want you to be thinking about that in the next few weeks ahead of the deputation. You cut that part off and send it down to our sister Glenda in the mission board office. We want to encourage you to consider covenant support for the Macaulay family. That is very significant for all missionaries. The regular monthly support that's coming in, the financial support, even if it's just a little amount. Remember, it doesn't have to be a large amount. Even a very small amount. I've emphasized to you before, if 100 people gave even £2 every month, that would be very substantial over the years that the missionaries are on the field. So remember that, the importance of the covenant support. And remember too what we highlighted at the midweek service just before Christmas, the building and vehicle appeal that's going to be really promoted now coming into the new year. It's very important for that to move ahead, particularly the building side of that project, just to provide the accommodation that is necessary for the Macaulays. The plan is to build an accommodation compound just beside the mission station on land that we have use of there. We want to build at least two houses in that compound. It will be a secure compound with a wall around it, thinking of the safety of our missionaries. The importance, the urgency to build the first home so that the Macaulays can go out. We don't want any hindrance with regard to accommodation to keep them back from going to the field when the time comes for them to be ready to leave. So pray the Lord will prosper that as he did for Nehemiah, the God of heaven. He will prosper us. We're working through the plans for all of that just at the present. We're hopeful that the work will start as soon as possible going into the new year. We're very thankful for the gifts that have been received. It'll take maybe £280,000, £290,000 for the vehicle and for the building work that is being planned. Already there's 130,000 that has been pledged, a supporter that gave 50,000, and then the Missionary Council very generously gave a grant of £80,000. Remember that that is one of the very important, the main roles of the Missionary Council, to give support to our missionaries going to the field, to help in whatever way they can, just to give the assistance. So we are very thankful for the Missionary Council for what they have done in this case. But there's still at least another £150,000-£160,000 that is required. That's to build two houses, so that there'll be a house as well there, suitable and adequate for the Kerskadans as well. The plan is to ask for planning permission for three houses on that accommodation compound. Out there, planning permission's a wee bit different from here. It never expires. So once you have the planning permission, you have it for good. So that is the intention, just with looking to the future, the long-term view and the long-term plan. They're also planning to buy the generator to give support to the electrical system. The mains electric, that was always in the plan. Whenever our brother Kyle Wenlock and his team put in the mains electric, it has been a wee bit more unstable since the summertime. It has been off maybe more than it had been. And the solar is a backup, but when the school is in and there's a lot of demands on the electricity, the solar batteries are soon exhausted. So our brother's going to be fundraising for that matter as well. So we ask you to take all of those things upon your heart and pray for the Lord's provision. If you'd like to give a gift to help with those appeals, the idea with regard to the vehicle, we have two vehicles out there. One is quite old, but with the increasing number of missionaries on the compound and the team, even going down to Kampala and bringing visitors up from the airport, there's a need for a vehicle with a larger seating capacity. So the idea is to get one of the Nissan Land Cruisers. So it's included just in the appeal that I mentioned to you. And if you would like to give to that, you can send your gifts or contact Glenda and send the gift down to the Mission Board office there in Kinkeel, or speak to us and it can be given through the church here as well. We're going to see just a brief video. We had our sister Miss McAfee with us last Sunday night at the carol service, and she spoke a little about the sponsorship and brought a children's address to us. We were thankful for the insight she gave to us with regard to the sponsorship program out there for the children at the Emmanuel School. Our brother Alistair's put together an end of year thank you video for all the supporters, primarily those that support through the sponsorship scheme, but we're conscious that there are many other folk that give gifts to support the ministry out there, both the church and the school. So it includes all that have given throughout the past year. The demands, the financial demands, increase and have increased significantly as the years go by. We generally send out a newsletter and a thank you letter to sponsors, and in the last year or two we've also included a video. So this is the 2023 thank you video. It lasts about 3.5 minutes, and we'll ask the men if they will play it to us just now, please.
As another year at Emmanuel Christian School draws to a close, we want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who has supported the work of the school this year. To those who pray for the school, the pupils and the teachers. To those who have financially supported the school and the programs and projects that we have managed this year. And to those who have sponsored children to provide for their needs. We say a sincere thank you. This has been another challenging but encouraging year. Challenging because we've been oversubscribed across the school and we're now at a maximum capacity with about 520 children. That increase obviously brings its own challenges. We have to ensure that we have sufficient teachers facilities, supplies and food. We have recruited 4 new part-time teachers, which now increases the staff quota to 40. We have taken the step to build a new toilet and shower block to accommodate that pupil growth. We have painted the iron roof sheets and tiled some of the classroom floors, which were suffering from wear and tear. Inflation has also brought some challenges, as we keep pace with teacher salaries and also face a much larger food bill. But it has also been an encouraging year, as pupils have worked hard and achieved another good set of results in their examinations. The funding provided has also helped with a variety of sporting activities, and the secondary volleyball teams have been very successful at district level. Our students have benefited from a number of educational trips to learn more about the history of the local district, and others have learned about agriculture and sugar growing in the neighbouring districts. The Child Sponsorship Programme is a tremendous support, as almost all of the children are from poor backgrounds and cannot afford the school fees or the cost of school supplies. Your generosity through this programme helps with teaching costs, textbooks and classroom resources, such as exercise books, files, pens, pencils and geometrical sets. It also helps to provide basic personal hygiene items such as toothpaste, soap, sponges and toilet rolls. Your sponsor support also helps with the cost of providing porridge for breakfast, maize and beans for lunch and supper, and the much needed weekly portions of meat and fruit. You have also helped with the provision of uniforms and sportswear for the pupils. By supporting in all of these ways, you've not only helped the children and their families with school costs, but you've also made the teacher's job easier, as the children attend regularly, are well fed, and are more attentive in class. So, whether you support the school with one-off gifts, or at the regular deputation meetings, or by way of the sponsorship programme, we and the children of Emmanuel Christian School want to let you know that your generosity has made such a big difference in the work of the school. May God bless you for all of your kindness. Thank you.
The newsletter, that sponsorship newsletter we mentioned, is being put together just at present. The first draft of it, we were working on it over the last couple of weeks. The designer, the way that they put it together this year, they've included a page that sets out how many pens, pencils, and so on is needed in the school each year, how many assemblies, how many Sunday schools and things of that nature, how many bags of maize and beans are needed each week. So there's 11 bags of maize, between 11 and 12. So that's slightly over half a ton, 1,200 weight. Those are 50 kilo bags. And 50 kilo bags of beans, there's 3. So that's 150 kilos of beans that is needed every week. So if you think of the two put together, roughly 3/4 of a ton of maize and beans that is required every week. So that's roughly £600 per week just to provide those foodstuffs in themselves. So it gives you some idea of the challenge of maintaining the ministry there at the school. Maybe when the newsletter's finished, I'll let you see. Remember, the newsletter's generally just given out to those that have sponsored. There's newsletters that are provided for the church here and for the Sunday school. So we'll make a few additional copies, or get a few additional copies, and let you see those figures. You'll find them very, very interesting indeed. Just to give you an idea of the level, the demands, the challenges that are faced there. Remember that the sponsorship form or the flyer is available. These are to be renewed with a new design coming into the new year. But there's some copies of the flyer available in the porch. If you're interested, if you're not sponsoring, take that upon your heart. Read over the details. Remember, it's £140 per child per year. That's £112 if you're able to sign up for the gift aid scheme, and then the board can claim the rest from the inland revenue. So we do appreciate all that have supported. We appreciate the church, the Sunday school, those in the congregation that have supported. And we trust that even the video tonight has been an encouragement to you in that regard. We're going to have a couple more messages in song. One perhaps a musical item. Paul and Sam are going to come forward just and minister to us now. We appreciate both Paul and Sam taking part in the service for us tonight.
I'd like to thank the Reverend Millen for asking us to take part tonight, and we'd wish all the congregation a very happy and prosperous 2024. This is just a little song. His name is Jesus.
At the mention of his name, walls crumble, lives are changed. In the midst of life's temptations, he's there to see us through. This man of which I speak is here today for you and me. His name is Jesus, but you can call him as you please. Call him Emmanuel, the King of all kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace. They call him Hosanna, the Lighthouse at Sea, the Rock of Ages. He's a friend to me. Many times I've called his name, I prayed forgiveness when used in vain. But there's a peace in knowing his forgiveness stays the same.
famous in history. The words he spoke, the whole world still reads. His name is Jesus, but you can call him as you please. They call him Emmanuel, the King of all kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace. They call him Hosanna, the Lighthouse at Sea. The Rock of Ages, he's a friend to me. Day of 2024, the somber thunder harvest past, looking back what's gone before. They're lying on a manger bed, our Savior laid his hand. But did you leave him there or take his hand for the year that lies ahead? For old lines, I, my friend, the spotless Son of God. He's waiting now with outstretched hand to lead the year ahead. By, I know thou. I know thou art mine. I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou.
Thankful to Paul and Sam for the blessing that both the ministry in song and the ministry in the instruments has been to us. We've been very encouraged over the last couple of Sunday evenings with folk from the church that have been taking part, that an opportunity has been given to use their talents just in the ministry, the work of the church here, and encourage them as well in their service for the Master. And we thank Paul and Sam for the blessing they have been tonight. Remember those words at the end, mine, 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 the words of that lovely hymn. We pray that that's your experience, that that's your testimony, and that you'll be able to say, if you haven't been before you come into the meeting tonight, you'll be able to say before you leave that the Lord is my shepherd, that you have that personal relationship with him. Just quickly, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. We welcome all that have come. We have some visitors in the service that are visiting with family today, so we appreciate you coming along to the meeting. We're glad of your support. We have some apologies from folk that can't be here tonight that are visiting with families in other parts of the province, and some that are unwell that prevents them from being present with us this evening. But we're thankful to all that have gathered. We've been blessed already in the service. We're glad to see the children, the young people, We're thankful to all that are watching the service on the live stream as well. Remember the Wednesday night midweek service, Wednesday night at 8 in the church hall, and I hope to be here to lead and to speak at that service myself. Then next Lord's Day, the 7th of January, the Sunday school and Bible classes are still off. Just to remind you that they start back again on the Lord's Day, the 14th of January. 11:30 a.m. is our morning service. We'll be preaching on the new motto text for 2024. And we will have some motto text cards available for you to take as well. There will be communion immediately after the service next Sabbath morning. Then at 6:30, our evening gospel service, we're looking forward to a visit from Pastor Victor Maxwell. He's going to speak especially on the life of Dr. Bill Woods. There was the special memorial service in Martyrs at the beginning of the month. Many in the church would have liked to have been there, but just circumstances that day prevented attendance and support. So we felt it would be good if Pastor Maxwell came and brought to us in the church here the very apt word of tribute that he brought at that memorial service. So he'll belong. Remember, he was a co-laborer with Dr. Woods there in Brazil for many years. So we're looking forward again to his visit. Please make that meeting known to others. Encourage them to come, plan to be here yourself, and remember the seasons of prayer before both meetings. The Christmas missionary offering last Lord's Day for the Bible Spreading Union in England. So far, the total there is £1,275. We thank you for your very liberal giving again to that offering. If you'd still like to give, there's still opportunity to do that. Just put your gift in an envelope and mark it for the Bible Spreading Union. Just remind the young people there's a youth rally tonight in the Cookstown Church. Starts a little later than usual at 9 o'clock. Our good friend and brother Pastor Dennis Lyle, formerly the pastor of Lurgan Baptist Church, is to be the speaker at that youth rally tonight. There's going to be some refreshments then served afterwards, and then the Reverend Leckie is going to lead in a time of late praise, and they're going to sing their way into the new year of 2024. We take the opportunity tonight again to thank you for your faithful support of the church here during the past year, through your prayers and attendance, your labours and your giving. We emphasise that it is by your support, by your faithful commitment to the work of the gospel here, that this witness is maintained and advanced. And we want to assure you that all that you have done in this past year is very much appreciated. And our prayer is that the Lord will lead us on even into greater days of blessing. And we do want to take the opportunity to wish you all and your families a very happy and a very prosperous 2024. I'm going to bring just a brief message in the gospel, a challenge, but before we do that, we'll sing one verse of the hymn 526. In keeping with our brother's testimony tonight and the challenge of it, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. We're especially reminded of that as we're at the end of another year. It seems to have come so quickly, our lives passing so quickly. I must labour for treasures of worth ere toils end at the close of the day. So just the first verse and chorus, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Just to still our hearts and to pray for the Lord's help. Father, we're very thankful for all that has taken place in the service already, for help given to each one that has taken part. Thank you for speaking to us, touching our hearts through the messages in song, the pieces on the instruments. We thank you for our brother's testimony, even, Father, for the opportunity to see a little of the work of the Emmanuel School. And Lord, we pray that you impress upon our hearts that we have only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Pray you'll speak through your word. We thank you for the scriptures, the power of the gospel. We've heard a little of that power tonight already in our brother's testimony. Lord, we want to pray that what you did in his life, you might do in the life of some person in this service or someone even listening to the service and the broadcast tonight. Grant us your power now, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 27, verse 1. The familiar words, let me remind you of them. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Maybe you've boasted not just of tomorrow, but of this new year. What you intend or what you plan to do. Think of the warning, boast not thyself even of tomorrow. We cannot boast even of another day. For a moment or two, I want you to think of a very significant question, very relevant, especially for the end of another year. And it is the question, when should you get saved? When should you come to Christ? When should you come and put your trust in him as your Savior? Generally, people's attitude to the matter of salvation and to that question is that they put it off and continue to put it off. They think, I have plenty of time. That's a mistake that particularly young people make in their youth as they look out on life and they imagine, they think that they've so many years before them. Do you remember what Felix said? Some more convenient time. Today's never the right time in people's circumstances, so they think. It's never the right time, they imagine, for them to settle their soul's destiny for eternity. Some more convenient time, some other day, some other gospel meeting. In childhood, people say, when I'm a teenager, I'll come to Christ. And then when the years slip by and they become a teenager, they say, oh, I'll do it when I'm married and when I settle down, set up my own home, begin to have a family. But when that time arrives, when they settle down in life, they say, I'll not do it now. I'll wait until I'm old. And then when people get old, they think, well, I'll wait until I'm older. The attitude is always some more convenient time. The minister was speaking to an old man on one occasion. He had procrastinated all his life. He was 90 years of age. Still wasn't right with God. The minister asked him about salvation, when he was going to get saved himself. You know the answer the old man gave? He said, you know, that's not something that you would want to rush into. Imagine, 90 years of age, giving a reply like that. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, as we stand on New Year's Eve, the 31st of December 2023, how many years have you been waiting? How many years have you been procrastinating, putting off the matter of your soul's salvation? How many times I've given a very quick outline of what many people's thinking is, just not now when I'm older. So let me ask you, for how many years have you been saying, just a little while longer, and then I'll settle that matter of my soul and salvation? You know, the most foolish thing that people say is that they'll put it off until their deathbed. Those that are hoping, depending upon what is generally described as a deathbed conversion. There are multitudes of people that say, I'm going to be like the dying thief. And when they say that, they mean they're going to turn to Christ on their deathbed. They're going to get saved at the very 11th hour of their life. You think of the words a little later in the book of Proverbs, just two chapters over, chapter 29, verse 1, where it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Surely, men and women, in the light of such a verse of Scripture, thinking that you're going to wait on a deathbed conversion, that sort of thinking is nothing more than folly in the absolute extreme. Can I remind you tonight, there is no guarantee that any person will have a deathbed, and there's no guarantee that that will be your experience, that is how the end of your life will work out. Think of those words, suddenly destroyed. Sudden death. In the book of Numbers, in the laws that are given, if a man die very suddenly, you've often heard that, often read it in the obituaries. I don't know whether you noticed in the news yesterday, one of the noted British actors, Tom Wilkinson, died. I read the account in the BBC news app last night. The words they actually used were, he died suddenly at home. They weren't expecting it. He hadn't been on well. They weren't thinking that he was going to be taken from them just yesterday afternoon. Suddenly destroyed. You think of the farmer in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. He thought he had plenty of time. He said to himself, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Maybe as you look out on 2024, that's what you're thinking. You haven't just 2024 before you. You've many years of your life that are still to come. He thought he had all the time in the world. But yet that very night, men and women, unexpectedly, quickly, he was ushered out into God's eternity. I emphasize it to you. There's no guarantee that you will have a deathbed. You could be in the best of health 1 minute, and in God's eternity the next. That's just how quickly, how suddenly you could be taken from this scene of time. And remember that even you do have what is called or described a deathbed, that still does not mean that you will turn to Christ for salvation. Can I remind you that there were two thieves that were crucified with the Lord Jesus? Oh yes, one of them did get saved on his deathbed. He died in Christ and went to heaven. But never forget that one of those thieves died without Christ, and he went to hell, went to a lost eternity. And it's important, men and women, to remember that he refused to be saved despite the fact that he had witnessed for himself the sufferings of the Son of God. You ever notice those words in Peter's epistle, that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ? Peter stood at the cross. He saw with his own eyes, he saw for himself the sufferings, the sacrifice, the agony of the Son of God. And so too did those thieves. Remember, one hanging on either side. So that thief died without Christ, even though he had been a witness himself of the very sufferings, the very substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died without Christ despite the fact that he saw his friend, his companion in crime. He saw him turning to Christ in salvation. Isn't it many times been the case when somebody gets saved, it has an impact upon a family. It has an impact upon friends. Well, his friend got saved that day. His friend experienced salvation, testified from the cross of Christ. And yet his friend didn't follow. It had no impact upon his heart. And he didn't get saved despite the fact that he knew he was going out into eternity. He knew he was on his deathbed. He knew that his life was over, that he would never come down from that cross alive. And still, he refused to be saved. There's an old saying that sums up the end of the life and the death of those two thieves, and it goes like this. One was saved that none might despair, but one was damned so that none might presume. It doesn't matter how far down the road of life you are, you need not despair. There's still hope for you to be saved, to come to Christ. But there's a warning, men and women, in the thief that was damned, that you might not presume. You dare not, you ought not, to presume upon a deathbed conversion. You know Cowper's hymn that we sometimes sing, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day." Someone amended the words a little to apply to the thief that died without Christ. The dying thief refused to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, throw my last chance away. You dare not presume upon a deathbed conversion. Think of Proverbs 27, verse 1. We're not to boast of tomorrow, men and women. Just a few hours away. Just a few hours will be into Monday, into the first day of January 2024. But you dare not boast that you live to see tomorrow morning dawn. Remember, this could be your last gospel meeting. Not just your last gospel meeting in 2023. This could be the last gospel meeting that you will ever sit in. The last word of warning that you'll ever hear. The last opportunity to be saved that will ever be presented to you. O sinner, God's patience may weary someday and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By willful resistance, you've drifted away and over the deadline at last. Who knows, men and women, this could be for you the last day you'll ever spend upon this earth. It's nothing more than folly for you to stay another moment out of Christ. Because remember, you could be in eternity even before you reach your own home this evening. I want to impress upon your hearts the solemnity, the urgency, men and women, of that matter. I plead with you tonight, I warn you earnestly, to come to Christ in this very meeting and be saved. Don't linger another moment in your sin and in your rebellion. In the words of the scripture, we plead, we entreat with you, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. You need to be wise, men and women. Remember Moses' great words, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You need to be wise tonight. Understand the seriousness of the issue of your soul, the seriousness of your soul being lost in hell for all eternity. Consider tonight your latter end and get saved. Get saved at the end of 2023. What a blessing that would be to our hearts. What a cause for rejoicing that would be even in the courts of heaven tonight. The Bible tells us that the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. So we plead with you, get saved tonight. When should you get saved? Remember the question we posed at the beginning. When should you get saved? You need to get saved now. The Bible emphasizes now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember, repetitions in the Bible are there for emphasis. Now, the accepted time now is the day of salvation. The Lord is really driving home the message to your heart. When should you be saved? When should you trust Christ? You need to do it now, my friend. While you've still time, while you still have opportunity, while the Spirit of God is still speaking, striving, The Bible warns that God can withdraw his spirit. My spirit shall not always strive. If you're troubled tonight, that's a mercy. Thank God for it. So we urge upon you the great urgency for you to be sure before you go from the gospel service tonight that you're saved and that you're ready for eternity. The hymn 246 we're going to sing as we finish. Time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. 246, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Just pray together. Father, we're thankful for all your goodness to us during this past year. We can say that your goodness and mercy has followed us every day of 2023, as your goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our lives. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, even to those in the meeting and those in our families that are out of Christ. We plead earnestly, Father, that by your Spirit you will speak on, strive upon their hearts. We pray, Father, there will be none of our family, none of our loved ones, none, Father, that attend this church, none that for many years have heard the gospel preached clearly and plainly and powerfully, that will die and perish without Christ. Lord, we want to pray that there will be some, even in the service tonight, somewhere this year draws to a close, that they'll be drawn to Christ, drawn to the cross, drawn to trust Christ as their Saviour, drawn by your grace and even by the power of your Spirit. We commit ourselves into your keeping. Want to thank you, Father, for your hand upon our families and upon this church during this past year. We praise thee for all your goodness to us. We want to commit our brother and his family to thee as they enter out into this new year, continue in their deputations, and as they prepare a little later in 2024 to leave the land of their nativity and to go to the land of their calling, take up the work of the gospel there in Uganda, provide their every need. Lord, we pray that help will be given every step of the way. We think of the needs of the accommodation, the building project. We ask earnestly, Father, for your prospering hand to be upon it. The challenges that there are of engaging in such a project in a far-off land. We plead, Father, in the words of Nehemiah, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. We're glad we can commit and cast all of these cares and all of these burdens upon thee. So hear our prayers. Lord, be with us as we leave your house. Take us home in safety. Be with us through the night. And in your will, as we enter out into this new year, we pray that you'll go before us. We ask the Lord, use us in an even greater way than you've ever done before. And we ask, Father, in those words that we sang in the second paraphrase this morning, oh, spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.